Hey everyone, this is Grace.
And this is Justin.
You're listening to the Perspective of a Hairdresser's podcast,
where we discuss the experiences between seasoned and unseasoned hairdressers alike. Welcome to our show. Hello.
Hello.
What's going on?
It feels like, I know that we did this the other week, but it still feels so weird to like record again.
Yeah, I know. It's like kind of getting back into the groove of doing it.
I feel like you get used to like talking without microphones, you know, like having a conversation that's not recorded.
And then once it starts recording, you're like,
like, what do I say? Yeah, exactly.
My mind's a blank.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get into it. What are we talking about today?
I think that we should talk about the importance of timing, and as far as like, how do you make people understand like certain services are going to take forever, and they come in expecting you to do magic in like 2 hours?
Yeah, that's, I guess, since we're so jaded by the hair community, like we know, obviously we know how long services are going to take. We have estimates of like everything because we do it every day. For the ordinary Joe, like, what do you think? We're doing science on your head, like literally, like we're applying chemicals. Like, that's not like a 1-2 step and it's done. Like, it's going to be for a while.
Yeah. I mean, even if you look on box color hair dye, it says it takes 30 to 45 minutes. And that's not on top of the time that you have to use to apply it and then wash it out and do all the things.
Yeah.
People don't understand, like, that's, if you're doing multiple services other than just touching up roots.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like baseline for a client should expect a service baseline is an hour. Reserve an hour of your time if you're getting a very simple like haircut. That is a good amount of bookmarker in your brain being like, I'm going to be at the salon for an hour if I'm just getting a haircut. But especially like bleach work services, if you've had bleach previously done at a salon, that appointment could range from an hour and a half, 2 hours to an 8-hour service, depending on what you're doing.
Yeah. This person came in, wanted basically a full color correction. And mind you, she was a walk-in last minute, and I only had an hour and an hour and a half to do a haircut because it was sort of a very intricate haircut that she wanted.
Wait, also, this was booked, the haircut was for the end of your day. So this was like the 7 o'clock time slot.
Yeah, yeah. And she sits down and she's like, oh, we're doing the whole color too? And the color in the picture that she showed me for the haircut. And I was like, are you kidding right now?
Like, this has to be a joke.
You're joking.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Like, you could not pay me enough money to start a fantasy color, a bleach, a whole bleach and tone, and a haircut that probably takes more than an hour because it's so intricate, and start that at 7:30 at night. Like, you are not getting out of the salon till 3 a.m., 6 a.m. Like,
especially, I mean, this person had at least level 2, which is like almost black hair, and she had 5 inches of new growth from like previous bleach work that had been done.
That's just ridiculous. Like,
and you want to get it done at 7:30 at night?
Also, you're one person too. Yeah.
And unfortunately, she didn't get anything done because I told her I definitely would have had the time to do the haircut, but not the color. And she was like, well, I want it all done at the same time.
That's like, but that's not our problem. Like, I feel like people know by now, if they aren't like scheduling ahead for their appointments, especially for something that would probably book out your whole day.
Yeah.
If they're not scheduling ahead, like, that's not doable. Like, if you are on a time crunch or you need your hair done a certain day, plan that shit out. Like, we are not gonna, like, that. It is not our job to squeeze you in for your birthday hair that you know what day your birthday is every single year. Like, you can plan that out. Like, we are not gonna plan out your hair unless you're doing it in a service before, like 3 or 4 months. Like, people plan out their next services when they're getting their hair done and then book that out and plan around it. Like, it's not just like, oh, I'm gonna go get my nails done today. Like, that's totally different than getting your hair done.
Also, I feel our salon is at a slow point right now because it's summer. That's pretty, like, normal for a lot of salons, but we have been getting a lot busier and getting, like, pretty consistently booked. And I feel like some people who come in and they're like, oh, I want a service, and then, like, can't get a service for, like, 3 weeks out are, like, upset. I'm like, why would you be upset? Just book your service ahead of time. And also, don't be upset that we're, like, getting new people. Like, that's how this job is. Like,
yeah.
You want to not accept any more clients. Like, you just want to have a full rotation of people.
I feel being a little bit exclusive is much better than being open all the time at any time. Because totally. Then you're just inviting anybody and everybody to walk in.
Yeah. Especially at your point in your career, like, obviously, you are an inclusive stylist. You do everything. It's not like you're specializing in just doing the same service over and over again. But, like, since you've perfected your craft, taken over a decade to do this and really work on it and hone in on your skills, not everyone deserves to get a service done by you. Like, that's just how I feel about that. Like, you know, like, somebody who just, I guess I think about it kind of like this, is like, in like a tattoo sense, like, people are more apt to be like, it's gonna be harder to get into a tattooer who's been doing it for 20 years. Yeah. They have built up their clientele, they've done this and that, and they're very exclusive. And tattooers are very exclusive off the bat. I feel like they have certain times. It's very different from hair. Like, I feel like you could get a lot of people, and a small tattoo could be baseline of $200-$300 depending on the shop you work at. But also, like, they're more exclusive because they just are.
Yeah. No, I like that mentality, especially comparing it to, like, being a tattoo artist. Obviously, I get tattoos are, like, more permanent situation.
Totally.
It's still the same craft.
Yeah.
In a sense. You're still detailing somebody's something on their body.
Yeah. Like, you're an artist at the end of the day. And, like, you're not, like, for somebody who's like, oh, I want to go get a tattoo. I don't know. For me, I've never been super picky about my tattoos, but I've had people in my life. I looked up this. I've been researching this tattooer for months. Like, they're the absolute perfect person I want. Like, obviously, I'm going to pay their prices because I can't find anyone like that, you know? And I feel like it doesn't translate over to hair like that sometimes, which really sucks.
I know. And it should, because I guess the bad thing is that we have all of these, I think, hairstylists in general all over the board, whether you work at Simple Cuts.
What's it called? Super Cuts. I like Simple Cuts better. Simple Cuts.
I don't know. You know, those places, they have created such a in and out, get them in, get them out type situation that has diminished us as hairstylists as far as, like, separating the ones who want to do more luxury high-end services.
Yeah.
And the ones who want to just, you know, get them in, get them out.
Yeah.
And people, general population, doesn't understand that if you come to a specific type of hair salon expecting it to be a little bit more pricey, then you're going to get a better service.
Yeah.
Versus those other places where it's like quick shop, in and out, go. Like, I'm not saying, like, all of those people are bad who do that, because there's some really amazing hairstylists who are quick, fast and go type stylist. That's, I'm just not one of them. And
yeah,
but also that leaves the room open for them to be berated and harassed because they charge a cheap price.
Yeah. I think the one thing that kind of, like, stands apart from a lot of other trade jobs, such as, like, tattooing, I'm just going to compare that again, is that at the end of the day, hair can be a luxury, but also it's a necessity as well. So it's really hard to, like, draw that line in between of, like, luxury and necessity. And when it's so easily accessible, which I don't think that it shouldn't be easily accessible, but I think when it's so easily accessible, like with those places like Supercuts or like chain, like super fast, quick, cheap haircuts, that obviously you're not going to get the best service possible. That's not their motto. And then you have luxury salons or corporate salons or people who are in suites. It's very different.
And I feel like since COVID has happened, a lot of that luxury has been taken out of hair and it's become more necessity now that people are like kind of getting back in routine and they're taking for granted that like this is our literal job. This is how we make money. And we spend hours a day like perfecting this craft. We put money into this. The amount of money hairstylists put into their career is fucking insane. And I'm sure that's like it for everybody. But also, like, we're not going to a 9-to-5 job where we have a computer that's there for us or all this stuff that's like already set aside for you when you come to the job or like stuff like that, like normal jobs
or health insurance or 401k,
exactly,
like, or vacation benefits,
like everything is coming out of our pocket at the end of the day, and a lot of people don't realize that. And then it comes to a point where it's like, well, why the fuck would a haircut cost this much? Like, I'm just gonna go to Supercuts. Like, that's not the point. Like, if you want to have if you want your hair to be a certain way, a certain angle, like you have like strict guidelines, obviously you're going to pay more for your service because you're not going to go down to the people at Supercuts because they don't care, you know. I don't know, I feel like the general population has kind of, they always have sort of, for lack of a better term, harassed hairstylists if this is a real job or not, or if it's like serious, or that people can barter what the price is. Like, that's not how that works at all.
Like, I will only barter for my friends.
Of course.
But I would never barter for anything else. No. You know?
No. And also, like, I feel like it's, like, known in the trade community. Like, everybody does trades. Like, if you have a friend who's a tattooer, you're going to do their hair and they're going to give you, equal levels of service that you can provide for them. Right. Like, they're going to do for you. I feel like that's where I would be at with my bartering. I feel like this gets brought up in the hair community. You would never barter with your doctor.
Absolutely not.
You would never barter with like any other profession that has been around forever. That's like a traditional job.
Right.
But when you come to somebody who is an artist or is not in a traditional job role, you feel the need that you can kind of push them around and get what you want for less. Like, how does that, no, like, that doesn't make sense to me, because one, they're, like we said, we're not being supported by anyone but ourselves.
Right.
We're putting all our money into this, all our time, the amount of education you have to put into this, all the stuff you have to buy, like the hours of work and practice and all this shit, you know. Like,
I mean, being a hairdresser is a whole lifestyle.
Yeah.
Like, it's not just you do hair, you go home.
No.
Honestly, because I've been doing it so long, I could never not think about not. Like, even when I was on vacation, towards the end of my vacation, I was like, I miss doing hair.
Yeah. Well, and another thing about vacation, like, if you go home and see your family, they're going to ask you to do their hair. Like, always. Your job never fucking stops. And if you meet people in public and you say, I'm a hairstylist, then they start asking you
always
about their hair. Like, you wouldn't see your doctor on the street and be like, look at this rash. Or like, should I start taking these pills? And maybe some people will do that. But like, I feel like most people wouldn't. They would just be like, hey, and walk away. But it's definitely an emotional task to be a hairdresser. And I just don't think it's respected enough.
I agree. Also, I feel like hairdressers need a union.
For sure. Like, I feel like, how long has hairdressing been around? Like, it has to be.
Forever.
Forever.
I mean, even when we were learning about it in cosmetology school, like, you know, the Egyptians changed their color when they wanted ranking status in their community.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's cool.
Girl!
I didn't know that.
You
like I said,
get your my lady's book back out.
I didn't pay attention in school. You know, but I feel like circling back to like expectations and time, it's gonna take time. Like, this is not like where this is a perfected craft, and it needs to be more respected like that.
Yes, always. So, moral of the story is respect your hairdressers because they have the shears in their hands.
I have noticed, and this is probably just because like inflation and obviously the cost of living has gone up and all that kind of stuff. It's crazy that more people have been, like, kind of shocked at our prices for how much, like, our services are, which in retrospect, I don't think our services are crazy expensive for hair.
Absolutely not.
No.
Like, there are people in Manhattan who are charging way more for worse jobs.
There's people down the street from us that charge way more.
Really?
Jessica.
Oh, right. But she does an amazing, like, curly.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's the only thing she does. But...
Yeah. No, I'm not saying that she, I, like,
but
I think
her
that
prices are
expensive.
Yeah.
But I think that if you are shocked by our prices or turned away because of our prices, then you weren't meant for our salon. Yeah. That's how I view it, you know? Because if I really want something done, or if I'm like, I really love this tattoo artist, I really want to support them, I really want a piece of art on my body, or I want to go to this specific nail person, I'm going to save up money.
You're going to make the effort.
I'm going to make the effort to save the money and, like, make sure I make that appointment.
Oh my gosh. There was, like, a quote or something that I seen the other day. It was on Instagram somewhere, like, behindthechair.com or whatever. It was like, don't let people complain about your prices when they're carrying a Gucci bag or something like that.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's very accurate.
Yeah.
Like, people will spend money on what they want to spend it on. And if they're complaining about your prices, but then they're out here buying Audis and Teslas and all of this other stuff.
I'm not going to say that I don't fall victim to that, but I fall victim to that in the opposite way. I'm like, this food is way too damn expensive, but these shoes I want to buy, I'm definitely getting it. You know, like, it's just, you can find the money.
Yeah.
I'm a firm believer in, I'm a broke bitch, but, like, money will come and go. Like, you can find a way to do it. Like, if you really put your pride aside and really scrounge, you can find money. Like,
yeah.
I just think you can. Personally, that's been my experience.
Also, I'm like, shit, I will do haircuts on the street if I have to.
Yeah.
To get some
extra
something
coin.
Done.
Yeah. Humans have been around long enough to figure out how to get what they want. And most of the times they do, you know? I was always instilled with, like, the practice of, you can do whatever you want if you work hard enough at it,
yeah.
You know? And I feel like that kind of, like, rolls over into, like, I'm going to get whatever I want, but it's, like, I choose what I want, you know what I mean? With, like, the paying situation, like, people are going to pay for what they want. Like, that's just how it is.
So let them spend their money.
Yeah. Have you had, also, I feel like this kind of topic with timing rolls over into no-show appointments.
Oh, God.
Look, I understand being late and all that kind of stuff, especially in New York. Subways are so unreliable. You could leave 30 minutes before your appointment and then get stuck on the train, dead in the tracks, no cell service for 20 minutes. That's happened to me before. But just no showing your appointment without contacting your service provider, I would not be able to sleep that night. I would feel so guilty about that. Unless you, like, completely forgot, but most of the times with appointments nowadays, you're getting, like, 3 confirmations ahead, prior, 3 to 4 days ahead, the day before, and you'll get contacted by your service provider if you're, like, 15 to 25 minutes late. You know what I mean?
Right.
But to not answer at all or, like, give a reason why, unless it's, like, a straight emergency, like, obviously that happens, but, like, for the majority of it, just, like, never, just, like, totally ghost that person. Like, you're taking money right out of their pocket. And,
well, not anymore now since we got the deposit fee or whatever.
Yeah, that's so true.
Which I felt like that needed to happen for the longest time. I just remember being at the other salon that I was at, and they would do, like, Groupons or whatever. You better thank the stars that you do not have to do a Groupon haircut.
I do. Because
those, I'm telling you, the bane of my existence. Half these people would not even show up. On top of the fact that, like, they would be at such a discounted price that I would only be making, like, $10 of that.
That's fucked up.
That is chump change.
Yeah.
Like, and then I'm sitting here having
wait for you
break my back to do, like, 15 to 18 of them a day
Fuck that.
Just to even be able to make
a living,
some kind of minimum wage.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, that it was a sweatshop.
Yeah. That's like so not cool at all. At all. But also with deposits, like you're obviously you're still missing out on money.
That's true.
Like you are making a commission. You're only going to make however much percent of that service with your commission. But also you're missing out on a tip.
Yeah.
And you're missing out on maybe say if they were like a big service, two or three other services that you could have been doing in that time.
Yeah. Yeah. That is also one of the big, like if it's more than just like an hour of a haircut or whatever, like then that's real crappy.
Mm-hmm. Have you had anybody sit in your chair? Let me rephrase that. Have you ever had anyone sit in your chair and they think that they're getting this whole service and they're going to be done in an hour? Or, because I feel like this happens a lot, have you had anybody in your chair know that they're going to get a lengthy service but tell you they have to leave?
Yeah, mostly that.
Like they're like an hour before the scheduled time they're supposed to leave.
Yeah, I definitely have.
So what have you, like, go ahead.
Well, I mean, I say, well, we have to do the things that we have to do in order to make your hair look good.
Mm-hmm.
or color wise be blonde or whatever shade that they want it to be. Well, if you have to be out of here in a certain time, you want to leave with wet hair? Like, I'm cool.
Or like that. A service half done.
Yeah. I'll do what I can in that hour and a half. But if it doesn't turn out the way I want it to turn out, then I'm not going to let you leave until I'm happy with the service.
Yeah.
Period, point blank. That's just it. Or I'm going to reschedule you.
Yeah.
Because I want it to be on my time and not on somebody else's time.
Yeah. I hate when people are like, so what time are we going to be done? Like, how much time do you think we have left? I'm like, girl, unless you're running like severely late over the time that you were scheduled to be done, like you're going to be done at your estimate time.
Yeah.
You know,
did you know that's why we don't have clocks in the salon?
No.
Because of that reason.
I've actually never noticed that.
Yeah. In every salon, there is not a clock.
Wow. I've been working at our salon for like a year and a half now, and I've never noticed that there's been any clock. There's not any like clocks on the wall. That's nope. Crazy.
Never. Never ever.
I mean, also just like the ambience of a clock when a salon is quiet and you could just hear it ticking is like, no, that's like the worst feeling.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow. I never put that together. That's crazy.
To my knowledge, all of the ones that I've been in, there's never been a clock anywhere. Yeah.
And this is kind of off topic, but there are some things, the way salons are set up are so psychological. A lot of salons do like different psychological setups to like make the environment like really calming for people.
Yeah.
Like you don't paint your salon red because you don't want it to be like because red is color that's probably well known by now. It makes people like nervous or like angry or anxious.
Mm.
You paint it like a very muted color.
Interesting.
So it like calms the surrounding.
I have heard that before. Oh my gosh. And there's all different types of colors too.
Yeah.
Or reasons for colors.
Yeah. Like the ambience of a salon, which sounds so weird. Like, a lot of the times, it's very, like, psychological to people to make people calm and, like, want to be inviting, which, obviously, like, you're going to make your store feel like that. You wouldn't want to, but, like, it's more set up for the fact that people feel at ease with their comfort and feel like they're getting treated well, you know? Which is, like, crazy to think about. You don't really think about that when you go get your hair done.
I mean, that's very true, especially, like, when I would love to play around with that sometime.
Yeah, like figure out what like everything means and like what would be the peak setup of like perfect calm and welcoming.
And like experimenting with.
See how like different people behave.
React, yeah,
totally. Because even when like people are like such creatures of habit. when we moved the setup of our salon and every single person we had without a doubt were like, oh, you changed the salon.
Right.
Like you everybody. Changed every single person.
Yeah.
like, oh, like something's different, like you changed it, you know, so that obviously you're aware of your surroundings. But like, I would forget what a place looked like every 4 months,
right?
You know, I wouldn't notice every single little detail. But also the way the people like spoke about the way we changed our salon, they were like, oh, it's so intimate now, it's so personable.
Yeah,
you know, like you would never really think about that just with like changing up a few different things.
I guess I never thought of it that way, especially for like a client's aspect of it. Like I know we changed it, but it feels normal.
Yeah.
And it feels, yeah, you know.
But like, I feel like if you think back, because our salon used to be pretty traditional, like just like rows of stations. And now we have like our own sections for the most part. And like with having rows of stations, you're going to be like right next to another client. And like right next to another stylist, and you can hear everything that everyone's saying, you know?
Yeah.
And you're also can see everything that's going on as well, because there's so many people by you, and like you're back to back with mirrors, so you can see every which way. So it felt more of a group thing. And now we have like our closed off sections, and you can't see like every inch of the salon. And now it just feels like more one-on-one with your client.
That is very true, actually. Yeah. I do like that. But anyways.
Yeah. Well, I feel like that wraps up this episode.
Yeah.
But we love you guys. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
And we'll see you next week.
See ya.
Bye. Thanks for listening to our show. If you liked what we talked about, subscribe, maybe like, and we'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye.